the father of bluegrass, Bill Monroe, and his bluegrass boys. But you're also hearing echoes of the man who mentored Monroe, Arnold Schultz, the son of a former slave from Ohio County, Kentucky. This story is about Arnold Schultz, something I learned a lot about in my dentist chair. We'll get to that. But it's also about the whitewashing of black musicians from roots music. For instance, black people brought the banjo to the Americas. That's been erased.
Also erased were the many stories of the black musicians who were mentors to white country pioneers. Country star Hank Williams apprenticed with the black guitarist Rufus T-Top Payne.
That's Rhiannon Giddens of Carolina Chocolate Drops fame. She explores the severed roots of black music in her podcast, Black Roots.
In bluegrass, an important influence on the young Bill Monroe was the African-American fiddler and guitarist Arnold Schultz.
We'll link you to Rhiannon's podcast at hereandnow.org. It features another black musician working to restore the legacy of Arnold Schultz, my dentist. I hate that sound. Dr. Richard Brown is a Harvard professor and dentist in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He's also a renowned mandolin player. Richard is a trustee of the International Bluegrass Foundation and helps run their Arnold Schultz Fund, which aims to encourage more people of color to come to bluegrass. Here in his office, he's been demonstrating on his mandolin how Bill Monroe tried to translate to his mandolin the driving rhythms and full-bodied sound that Arnold Schultz pioneered on his fiddle and guitar.
Yeah, I mean, I even have a recording of me playing with Bill Monroe once.
What? You have a recording of you playing with Bill Monroe?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
Richard Brown is here. He was on the show here tonight, and we got to stick together. And we're going to ask him to come up on the stage and bring his mandolin with him, and we're going to play one for you.
This is Richard playing with Bill Monroe on Cape Cod in 1988. Richard Brown was just a kid in New York learning bluegrass when he read an article in Sing Out by Ralph Rensselaer, the late noted folklorist.
And he talks about how Schultz was influential in Bill's music. Of course, Bill wouldn't say that he had direct influence because Bill never said that. Bill was kind of, you know.
Well, the word that others use is territorial, that Bill Monroe didn't give as much credit to Arnold Schultz as he should have.
He didn't. I met Bill Monroe probably in 1964.
Did he speak to you about Arnold Schultz? Did you ask him?
No, I didn't. I was frightened then. I was 19 years old when I was about 20. He said, I'll tell you about Arnold Schultz. You know, I know him. You know, I played the fiddle for him, you know, and I played guitar for him. And he really liked my guitar playing, you know. And boy, we played these dances, you know. And one night we played all night. Everybody loved it so much. We played all night and we played until the next day, you know, until sunup, actually, which meant that it was Sunday, which, you know, you weren't supposed to be doing that sort of thing on Sunday. Not in Rosine, Kentucky, anyway.
Well, and not with a black man. We understand when Arnold Schultz was, he'd be in a show and someone would yell out, what are you doing with that fill-in-the-blank player up there? We don't like that. And there's an anecdote about how one band leader said, because he's a good musician. You're nodding yes. I mean, yeah. Did you have any sense? I mean, you know, bluegrass was thought to be a white art. Black was whitewashed out of it. Did you have any fear that maybe this wasn't something for you?
No, not really. I liked it and I wanted to do it. And I mean, that's the way I've gone through life.
Did it enrich it for you to find out that in fact an African American had been principal in helping develop bluegrass?
Yeah, I guess it did, but I knew that, you know. I could actually hear the music had a certain syncopation. It also had all of the, what I could recognize as close harmony singing. There were a lot of records made, mostly in the late 20s and 30s, of black string bands, and you could kind of just say, oh, well. I mean, all the music was sort of the same music. I mean, in fact, it was first sold as race records. They just put them all, you know, hillbilly music. Race records.
You were talking about how you could hear string bands that were black musicians from the 20s. Bill Monroe didn't record till 1934.
That's right.
I've read and heard in some of the research that Bill Monroe, at 12 years old, would follow Arnold Schultz around. And then Arnold Schultz started to give him gigs and stuff. Monroe was mentored by him.
Oh, sure, he was. That's true. Actually, Monroe used to go, his uncle, the famous Uncle Penn, who he written a song about. He actually played with Schultz. He hired Schultz to play guitar at his dances. Bill would usually tag along with him. And then after Penn was injured, let's see, I think he fell off a mule and was injured, and he really couldn't play very much after then.
What did he bring to the guitar?
He had a way of doing these kind of transitional runs between chords. He added more rhythm and syncopation. I'm sure Bill picked that up because Bill liked that. More of a driving beat than kind of being more, you know, just...
like the dunk dink a dunk dink a dunk
Yeah, a little bit. You know, kind of a jung dung dung. You know, one of the leading fiddle shuffles is a Georgia shuffle, and that's kind of... But, you know, you're accenting the beat because when you play for dances, you know, people want to dance.
And we hear from guitarists like Andrew Reinhardt that the Kentucky thumb picking, tell me if I've got this right, it's like you've got a pick on your thumb and you're right. Playing a bass line, and then with your upper fingers, you're doing the melody.
Right. That's exactly right.
We have some of Andrew Reinhardt from Rhiannon Giddens' podcast on Arnold Schultz, and here he's explaining how he filled in what you're talking about. He filled in the harmonies. And Reinhardt is demonstrating this with that gorgeous 1924 Isham Jones ballad, I'll See You in My Dreams.
And that was a song that, you know, most people would have played, but it would have used kind of the three chord standard, the G, C, and D chord. So he would be kind of responsible for putting in some more variety in there. You can hear some of these chords, like different passing chords. You can kind of hear in this spot right here, so. So that chord right there, that would have been a very, you know, colorful chord for that time period.
So there he's saying that he added richness, this harmony. He was like a one-man band, melody, bass, and harmony.
Right. No, that's true. And then there are other people that said, well, you know, I don't think he influenced me, but I did feel his presence when I was playing my music. You know, because all of this is all oral tradition.
How tough is that for you? Because there's no recordings of Arnold Schultz. How much do you wish you could hear it?
Oh, I really wish. I mean, I've heard rumors there was someone... people that know this person who claims he has recordings of Arnold Schultz.
What?
But I actually wrote a letter to Arnold Schultz's grandnephew, who was a policeman in Kentucky, and he claims that in his family that there were recordings. And, you know, I've written him a few times, and no answer. No.
I think road trip. I think we have a road trip in our future.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
Well, here you are, Dr. Richard Brown, dentist / well-known mandolin player, trustee of the International Bluegrass Foundation, where you've now created the Arnold Schultz Fund.
You know, during the Floyd murder and Black Lives Matter, James Reams, the late James Reams, he was part of the leadership. They had a chat room one day, and this is like 2020, and somebody's talking about it, and somebody says, well, you know, this is a racist organization and, you know, we need to...
The Bluegrass Organization.
Yeah, well, they were saying that and there's no one. And, you know, we ought to have some other people represented because there are black people out playing bluegrass and country music. People have come to me and said, I play it. Where can I play? Where can I meet other people that play? You know, we start talking about getting... and Arnold Schultz Fund together.
Well, I understand one of the recent honorees is Don Fleming's Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Now with a poet and a boy named Jim, he liked her and she liked him. Both broke down in a country bar, but they didn't get home until after dark. But they got
What's it like for you to see a young artist like Dom and the others that you're now giving grants to?
Well, let's see. I'm seeing Trey Wellington. He was a... I mean, I think Trey's probably about 21 now. He's a really fantastic banjo player. And also, we give money to people who are less known. Some people want to take lessons. Some people want to go do shows. That allows them to influence someone else.
You're bringing the story of Arnold Schultz to so many more people. which is, to me, doubly poignant when I hear how young he was when he died. He was, what, 45?
Right. He was 45 years old. And the rumor is that he was poisoned by someone who was a musical rival, you know. And
a white musical rival who was jealous?
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, I mean, just a rumor, but it gives it even more power to bring him back.
Oh, yeah. And I wish my quest for finding any recorded things I can or of Arnold Schultz would be kind of a great thing. You know?
I am just going over Jordan. I am just going.
Dr. Richard Brown on Arnold Schultz, who musically mentored this guy, Bill Monroe. More at hereandnow.org.